Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to be talking with a pioneer in the health and medical field, a man who is a leader in so many ways. It's so exciting to have a guest today who I'm so impressed with, Dr. Norman Shealy. Hello, Norm.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy that you could join us. This is an opportunity for both me and our audience to find out more about what you're doing. And you've already done so much, and you're a leader in the field of pain management, of depression, and also of energy medicine. You have an MD and a PhD in psychology. You've written hundreds of books. I mean, it goes on and on. And it's really quite amazing. I'm sure you probably look at yourself in wonder and go, did I do all that?
Well, you know, I've just done what has been fun. You know, Hans Selye said you should strive in life to find a job that is not work, but play.
Well, it looks like you've played a lot and have contributed a lot. And not only that, but you keep on contributing. I know you're retired from your clinical practice.
But I still work full-time doing research and writing. My newest book just came out a week ago, and I'm working on the next one.
Well, what's the new book?
Well, the new one is Medical Intuition, A Science of the Soul. And the next one will be Energy Medicine, The Future of Health.
And you've been in those fields for a while now, so it's not new, it's just the books are new.
That's right, yeah. I mean, this is just sort of a summary of my work, of course, as well as that of others. And I guess I'd say my major focus is the broader field of energy medicine and the comprehensive or holistic approach to health in general.
Well, I see that. I've been examining your website and looking at some of the tools that you offer, including some CDs that I've been listening to that I hope we'll have some time to talk about, because that's very alternative and very powerful in healing very important chemistry of the body.
Well, it's true. You know, actually, it has been known for almost 100 years that 80% of illnesses can be cured if people just do the right kind of what I best call self-regulation, mental techniques, not just for relaxation, but actually for retraining the nervous system and the physiology of the body. I guess my basic favorite is plain old autogenic training. J.H. Schuff started in 1912, published his first book in 1932, and is in a six-volume work in 1969 with 2,600 scientific references.
And by autogenic, you mean?
Well, autogenic means self-generated, of course, and it's a very refined form of self-hypnosis, which, if people will do it, can retrain the nervous system and put it into the right gear, so to speak. It's very simple. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My heart beats calm and regular. My breathing's free and easy. My abdomen is warm. My forehead's cool. My mind is quiet and still. It takes about 6 weeks to begin the retraining process, and up to 6 months for some people. But 80% of people with stress illnesses, which is most illnesses, will bring them under control by doing just that. I mean, it's so simple and so effective.
Well, to take it to the next level are those CDs that you've produced with those five rings.
Well, that's right. Mm-hmm. The five rings, of course, are very specific for one purpose primarily, for re-energizing certain pathways in the body. So, for instance, with the ring of fire, we increase DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone. But we also have a very high success rate in treating people with migraine, diabetic neuropathy, depression, and rheumatoid arthritis, just using that one circuit of 12 specific acupuncture points.
And that's a guided meditation, really.
Well, it is, but also I now have DVDs that show people how to tap and massage these points, because you really do need to stimulate them physically. And so we now have, today I'm supposed to get I just did them a couple of weeks ago, I'll get the DVDs, which just are a short introductions to how to tap the points, plus the guided imagery.
And so there are many different, there are several different rings and different sets of points that you're talking about, right?
Well, that's true. The other rings are air, which raises neurotensin, which regulates pain and mood. Aldosterone comes with the ring of water, which helps to balance water and potassium metabolism. Calcitonin is raised, which helps keep your skeleton strong, and is also the strongest pain reliever the body produces when you stimulate the ring of earth. And free radicals are reduced 85% when you stimulate the ring of crystals. So these are very specific things that can be useful to people depending on what they need.
Well, this is why we call it energy medicine, because you're speaking in two different languages. You're speaking of elements and of our mind bringing in an energy of those elements and actually a direct chemical effect on the body.
Well, that's true, and we have actual proof of the physiological effect of stimulating these rings. In other words, if you stimulate the ring of air, it does not raise DHEA. But when you stimulate just those 12 specific points that are ring of fire, it does raise DHEA. And is a powerful tool in treating diseases that, from a Chinese cosmology point of view, would be diseases of fire. Migraine, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetic neuropathy are problems of fire energy.
Now, let's move on to, we can come back to these rings, too. I mean, the ring of crystal isn't common to people. It's
Well, my guide told me we should call it crystal instead of metal. In Chinese cosmology, it would be metal. But basically, we are crystalline structures. That is, our skeleton, our muscles, our tendon, and our intestines are piezoelectric, which is very similar to quartz crystal, which means that when we apply physical pressure to the body, it actually produces an electrical current. And that's the principle, and that's why we call it crystal instead of metal.
That's great. And now you said something that I want to look at, and you said, my guide told me. And this is something that intuitives understand. We have to receive information. It's let's call it higher information. And I think that's where a lot of genius comes from anyway, even if people have no idea that they're spiritual or intuitive.
Oh, absolutely. All creation, whether it's science, art, fiction, whatever it is really an intuitive process. And I don't think you can be creative in any field without using intuition. And of course, intuition is a very multidimensional aspect of us. Sometimes you just know, an abstract knowing. Sometimes you get images. Sometimes you hear voices that tell you specific things. In fact, I once had an image that I thought, well, that's really interesting. I drew it, and a day and a half later, I just happened to have a conversation with one of my guys, and he says, well, where do you think that image you got yesterday came from? I said, I thought it was mine. He said, I put it there. So I have this idea that in the great television station in the sky, there's all kinds of information if we just happen to tune into it.
Well, this is something that you and I are very familiar with. I've been teaching intuition for many years. And when we talk about guides and, these conversations, it's much more grounded than people realize. There's actually dialogues in the universe.
Oh, absolutely. You know, some people, you know, say they talk to God. I honestly don't believe God talks to people individually. I think angels talk to people and disincarnate spirits talk to people. I doubt seriously that maybe Moses did, but
we don't know. I mean, I agree with you completely that I think God is bigger than our little conversations.
Exactly. And poor God gets blamed for too many things, too.
That's true. And, you know, we are responsible for a lot of our own havoc. And so this is, you know, so fascinating because you represent in many ways where, you know, I don't know how to call it, but the establishment, but you're not, certainly not, yet you are grounded in institutions.
Well, you know, I was very fortunate. My life has been blessed. I often say I didn't have the courage to choose abusive parents in this life. And so, you know, since birth, I've been very lucky. I had wonderful, loving, and nurturing, and encouraging parents. And I happened to have been a bit of a nerd when I was younger. And I did a lot of focus in my academic world. I attended great universities and had good training. In fact, interestingly, people have often told me, well, you know, we wouldn't believe you if you came from California, but since you're from the Midwest, it must be true.
That's interesting. Sure. So you're working on many different levels because obviously, intelligently, you've received many degrees and you've established yourself as a physician in the world, working in the White House and et cetera. But I also believe that part of your gift is that from that background, you have more to know intuitively.
Well, I think that's true. You know, some of us are more open, if you will. A lot of people, I guess, are rather afraid to explore these kinds of things. To me, I guess I've always been open. I'll never forget when I was taking a math course in high school, and we were supposed to write down all the ways in which we got to the answer. And my teacher said, "Oh, Norm, you know what to do. Just write the answer." And she recognized that, you know, I could go through all the steps, but I didn't need to.
Well, and I think that's true for intuition in general. I know that so many times in my life I've just known things I didn't understand why I knew them. And even now, lately, I've been working with a scientist on some technical breakthroughs, and I hear information that, and I say to the scientist, well, this is what I'm getting, and I give him you know, some details, but I say, I have no idea what I'm talking about. And then he says, but it fits perfectly what I'm looking for.
Well, that's good intuition and all the way.
Right, and so we need to have faith in that. We don't have to have all of these degrees that we've accumulated.
Well, I mean, that's a wonderful point.
And knowledge to actually hear and see and know things that can move us forward in dynamic new ways.
Well, the man who created hydraulic steering and hydraulic brakes had a high school diploma. And he has 88 patents in the field of hydraulics. He solved things intuitively that great scientists had not been able to do.
Right. And one scientist I'm working with has the breakthrough technology for fusion energy, and he doesn't have any advanced degrees.
Yeah, well, a number of really brilliant people have been able to come up with some of our greatest inventions without having gone through the sometimes stultifying effects of education.
Right. I've had people say, well, what's this guy's background? And if I say, well, it's not in the mainstream, they'll say, well, now I believe him all the more.
Well, you know, both sides. I mean, it's like everything else. Character, for instance, has no limits to race or gender or you know, ethnic background of any kind. The character is an innate thing that I think we bring in with us, having accumulated it through many lifetimes.
Well, that's another story as to, you know, who are you from how many lifetimes, where have you been? Because obviously you're here with great gifts.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Every once in a while you tune into an aspect of yourself that is absolutely foreign. And you wonder, where did that come from? And then if you get the insight, I mean, you know, a little over 300 years ago, I was a brute. And I've come a long way, baby, in just 300 years.
Well, maybe 300 years before that, you were a healer.
That's true.
And needed to have some experiences as a brute to know how to help people better.
Well, I just, you know, it's an interesting thing. I know of it three lifetimes, at least, which I would say I'm not exactly proud of those. And yet, all the others that I know, I've actually been pretty helpful.
Sure. Well, I think you're evolved enough in this planet to have great strengths of character and purpose, and they have to have come from all of that development.
Well, I think, you know, that really is true. I happened on to knowing, if you will, again, just a sudden intuitive flash knowing about past lives of my own. And most of the ones that I know have come to me quite spontaneously. One of my favorites actually was just a very brief knowing and seeing myself as a lowly disciple with St. Francis of Assisi. Came to me many, many years ago. Well, two and a half years ago, I was giving a lecture out in Victoria, and in the audience was the reincarnated St. Francis, who recognized me. He came down, and we were reunited.
And what is this St. Francis doing now?
Well, it's fascinating, Peter. He is a neurosurgeon in Canada who no longer does surgery and teaches meditation.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
I mean, our similarities in that respect are right. Remarkable also.
Right.
And he actually said I was the only person from his St. Francis days that he recognized so far in this life.
But it's wonderful when people can recognize each other. And I think people are doing it all the time but not knowing it.
Oh, yes. You know, Edgar Casey said, you never walk down the street and pass someone you haven't known in a past life. It's an opportunity to heal old wounds or renew friendships.
Well, living in New York City, that's a little hard to imagine.
Yeah, I don't meet that many people every day.
Right. Well, you know, it's so fascinating to talk with you because you're covering so much scope of understanding of life and on so many dimensions. And I think that's how we have to approach ourselves and our health issues.
That's true. You know, health is a very complex aspect of it. I just was doing the chapter on the physiological roots of disease yesterday. And, you know, physiology is very complex. But then I did the chapter also on the karmic roots of disease, and that's even more complex.
Oh, sure. Because that goes back not only into childhood, but into those other lifetimes, too.
Exactly.
And then we do choose our lives and our parents for our needs, probably based on those other lifetimes.
I think that's the way it happens. And I'm so remarkably grateful that I don't think one makes these choices absolutely by yourself. I do think our guides on the other side help us before we're born to choose. But, you know, one sometimes wonders, how on earth did I choose that particular, or could that person have chosen those parents? Well, they came to learn a lesson. Gladys McGarry, a wonderful, wonderful physician, who's just turning 90 this year, still very active, wrote a wonderful book called Born to Live, and she tells the story of a little boy who at about 4 years of age says to the mother, The last time I wanted to come in, you weren't ready for me, and this woman had had an abortion 2 or 3 years before this child was conceived.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think that really puts it in perspective when a child comes out with something like that.
Well, the children actually, a lot of children know a lot more about their past than we give them credit for. And then that gets erased as they grow, and we all kind of have to discover it in new ways. I mean, you were able to intuitively to look back, but there are a lot of people who can go into hypnotic regressions. Michael Newton, who will be on the show soon, has written books on bringing people back into not only into other lifetimes, but in between life where we do make these choices.
Exactly.
And so you made a good choice. Thank you. Thank you for your choice from all of us, because you've contributed so much.
And well, you know, it's really fun, and I, of course, expect to continue contributing for a lot longer. You know, one of my theses for the past 5 or 6 years is we actually ought to live between 120 and 150 years. That should be, average should be about 140 years of life.
Now that depends on how well we treat ourselves and using all of these tools that you're talking about. And also how much we've already hurt ourselves in our lives. In other words, how many systems have broken down or blocked and have to actually be recovered and regenerated?
Well, you know, just as we've known for many years that if you stop smoking before you develop major diseases like cancer of the lung, within about 10 years, and it takes that long for that particular thing to recover, your life expectancy, if you've survived 10 years, is the same as it would have been if you'd never smoked. Well, so I think we can repair some of the serious damage. People who drink a lot, excessively, if they do it before they develop cirrhosis, can repair the damage. If, and this is one of those huge ifs, every person in this country suddenly just had the four most essential habits, average life expectancy would go within 10 years from 78 to 100 years of age. We would increase average life expectancy 22 years just by taking up four essential habits. And only 3% of Americans have all four of these habits.
Well, please tell us.
No smoking.
Okay.
A body mass index of 18 to 24. Two-thirds of people are above that. Five servings a day minimum of fruits and vegetables. The average person in this country only has 2.6 servings of fruits and vegetables average per day. And finally, physical exercise, 30 minutes 5 days a week. I mean, those are such simple habits. And I go to conferences where people supposedly are interested in health, and at the most at those conferences, about 25% of the people will have the habits. So, you know, it's like I say to people who smoke, I wouldn't worry about anything else in health. If you're not willing to give up smoking, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even saints can only take so much arsenic and survive. And there's no point in worrying about the rest of your health habits if you're going to smoke.
Well, let's talk about the fruits and vegetables. Five times a day often is impractical for busy people.
Ah, now, Peter, peanut butter is a vegetable, and natural peanut butter.
So there are a lot of snacks that you can pick up that have those.
That's true. Now, for breakfast, my day starts with a minimum of one serving of fruit. I mean, that's absolute bare bones. And actually, by the time I'm really finished, because before breakfast I have really two servings of fruit most days, fruit as a juice, 6 ounces of juice is a serving. And so I've usually had two and sometimes three servings of fruit before the day begins practically. And, you know, at lunch, if I'm busy, I'll just have a heaping, really heaping tablespoon of Smucker's old-fashioned peanut butter with buttermilk. That's a lunch. And it's a fast lunch, it's inexpensive, and it's healthy. And then, of course, you can have another couple for dinner. So, I get a minimum of 6 to 7 or 8 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Incidentally, I want to mention one of my favorite supplements, which you can do, which is a phenomenal alternative to fruits and vegetables, and that's cocoa nibs. Cocoa nibs, the little seed things from which cocoa is made.
That's raw cocoa, you mean?
Well, yeah, but it's the seed pods, not even made into cocoa yet.
Right.
Called nibs, N-I-B-S. 1 tablespoon of them has 45,000 ORAC units. You'd have to eat about 30 servings of fruits and vegetables to get that many ORACs. So a teaspoon of cocoa nibs can add it to your diet. Just, chew them up or throw them into something that you're eating. And that can compensate tremendously for not getting other fresh fruits and vegetables, which I still recommend.
Now, I'm sure that the audience would like me to talk to you for hours, and the show is going to be over soon. And so what we want to do is let people know that so much information is available on your website.
Right, normshealy.com. There you can find sign up for my newsletter free and go to the archives, which are there for the last 5 years, and find a link to optimal recommendations where I give many of the alternatives for various and sundry illnesses that I recommend, and many of which eventually appear in my newsletter.
And I've seen those pages, and there are many pages of optimal opportunities for people for whatever conditions they have, pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a great gift that you're offering. Thank you.
Well, I really enjoy education. I guess I love taking care of patients. That's always been fun. I loved surgery when I was doing that. I guess I just didn't love what I'm doing.
It's obvious. You put so much energy into it in order to produce so much. I'm sure that you get up every day and are excited.
Well, that's true. My day starts with 90 minutes of physical exercise.
Terrific. And what kind of exercise do you do?
Well, I walk for 45 minutes, and then I have a treadmill, a health rider, which is a low-slung bicycle with 2 sets of places for handlebars and 2 sets of pedals. I use a Power Vibe. I use a Bosu. Uh-huh. I use a Roman chair, and I do a lot of yoga.
That sounds like a day in itself. It's so, when you get done with that, I do a workout in the mornings and I get done and it's like, now I'm free because I've taken care of all that I need to for my body.
Well, not only that, I'm sitting right now at my desk on an exercise ball. And when you sit on an exercise ball, you have to keep a little bit of movement to keep yourself straight.
Sure. I was on one a couple of days ago, and I only lasted about 10 minutes because it was muscles I wasn't used to.
Well, I sit on this up to 6 or 7 hours a day.
Oh, that's so smart. This is, it's so wonderful to talk to you because you have every subject matter you have words of wisdom about, and it's an opportunity, and I'd like our audience to seek some of the tools that you offer. I know that I've been using your CDs. I've been listening to the rings of fire, air, water, earth, and crystal, and they're so nice to listen to.
Well, thank you. And, by the way, they're not only nice to listen to, but they're nice for your body. And that's the other aspect. In fact, I believe that if one really just did one a day of fire, earth, and crystal, and so every day you just did one of them, that in itself would extend life significantly.
That's wonderful. And so, Dr. Norm Shealy, this has been a great honor to talk with you today, and I'm so grateful that you've joined us and that you're sharing such gifts in the world and helping so many people.
Well, thank you, Peter, and thank you for helping make this available to others.
Well, I'm glad to, and maybe someday you can join us again and share some of your wisdom with us.
I'll be delighted to do that. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.